the wheel, light, electricity, the first computer, the internet. These discoveries changed our world, integral to the way our world functions. We like to think of these discoveries as eureka moments, the collision of accident, chance, and ingenuity. In actuality, these inventions came as a result of careful study and dedication. So why would we think fate be any different? We can't expect spiritual growth to be as easy as turning on a light bulb. After all, we have so many examples from the Bible. Moses, Elijah, even Jesus dedicated themselves to 40 days of fasting and drawing closer to God. What is it about this number 40? We see it so often in the Bible. When we dedicate ourselves to 40 days of prayer, of fasting, of growing in intimacy with God, maybe there is something to 40. The power of 40.
Well, we are in our final week of the power of 40. I hope you've been blessed, and I hope we've opened up scripture for you like you've never heard before so that we can be people that we've never been before to just go out and share the love of God together. We're going to end today with dedication until departure, because we need to be dedicated to the work of Jesus Christ before we depart this earth so we can take as many people with us as we can. Now, I want to do something. I want to read the Word of God today from Luke 24, 50 to 53, and then Acts 1, 9 to 11. If you are able right now, I know some of you have kids in your laps, but if you're able, would you stand for God's word as we bring reverence to God's word as I read? When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back, church, in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to what you have for us today. Help us to realize the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, as we end with 40 days, we see the power of 40 here after the resurrection. So here in Luke, he's the only one to record the details of the ascension. But we have the resurrection, that awesome Sunday, but then we have the ascension, which is actually 40 days from the resurrection, we get to the ascension. And Jesus, during those 40 days, is preparing his disciples for earthly ministry when he leaves. In those 40 days, he appears to over 500 witnesses, including his disciples. Now, if you remember, all the way back in week one, we studied Jesus where? In the wilderness. If you haven't watched that sermon, go back. We have it, CWC.life. Go watch that sermon. But it's Jesus 40 days in the wilderness before he starts his earthly ministry. He is tempted by Satan. And we looked at ways of how he was able to resist temptation and be ready for his earthly ministry. Now fast forward 3 years to the ascension moment, where those 40 days, Jesus is preparing his church, preparing the disciples to continue his earthly ministry while he gets prepared to do a heavenly ministry. And we'll see what Jesus is doing in heaven right now a little bit later. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. So we see Bethany here in Luke, and Luke also wrote the book of Acts that we just read from, but he says the region of the Mount of Olives in Acts. Now, He's not schizophrenic. He's not writing about two different places. There's no contradiction here, but the vicinity of Bethany is the same location as the Mount of Olives, the same location that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. It's around that region. So there's no contradiction here from the account in Acts chapter 1 from here in Luke. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them when it was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? So let's dig in to this passage. Acts 1, 9 to 11, why the ascension? So this ascension gets overlooked. We celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Easter, but we don't really talk too much or celebrate or really have a day that we celebrate too much in the evangelical church of the ascension. But there are reasons why the ascension was recorded by one of the disciples, because the ascension is important. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. So what is one of the reasons for this story of the ascension? The first one is to bless the disciples. He wanted to bless the disciples as he is the high priest. So the story here and the visual here that they were getting is used in Leviticus 9:22, when the law was being given to the ancient Israelites, to the people of the ancient days. Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. So you see the same moment with Jesus, lifting up his hands and blessing them. So the disciples knew exactly what type of blessing that they were about to receive, because they've done it before with the priests of old. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. So all of these offerings, the sin, the burnt, and the fellowship offering, are no longer necessary, because Jesus, when he died on the cross, when he rose from the dead, he became all of this sin. So we no longer have to do these things. So the picture here in the ascension moment is that when Jesus lifted his hands and blessed the people, the sin offering, the Lamb of God, the Lamb offering, the atonement of sins was in Jesus Christ. So these aren't two separate things. The sin offering and the high priest became Jesus, and he was signifying this and says, I'm blessing you, disciples. And this is a forever blessing. It's not a momentary one like the previous priests that would have this blessing around once a year or whenever they celebrate these festivals or the sin offering. This was a forever. This blessing was going to keep forever and reach all the way to you and me in the 21st century. Because Jesus says this in Revelation, I'm the Alpha, the Omega. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. In me, there is this forever blessing. Did you know that in you, there is nothing good in you apart from Jesus Christ? This is the importance of this blessing, that Jesus is saying, I'm giving you this forever blessing to go spread my message. You have my blessing, and you need my blessing, church, because in you is sin, but in me, I have overcome sin. Therefore, in me, you have overcome sin, and you are ready to proclaim this truth. It was a blessing to represent Jesus to the world. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? My representation in Jerusalem, so the local community, and all Judea, the national community, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the global community. All stages of where we go as believers are covered here in Jesus' final words on earth to his disciples. He said, listen, you gotta represent me. I'm no longer gonna be here. So I wanna use you to spread my message. It's also to provide a witness. And there's a couple ways that he provides a witness here. One, that God is alive. He witnesses that God is alive. By his power, who raised God raised. That means God is not dead. God did not create the universe and said, all right, people, good luck. I'm stepping out. I'll be back at the end. But in the meantime, figure this out. No, Jesus proved this, that he is alive, that this same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he will raise us also. And in this ascension moment, this happened again when he was lifted by a cloud into the sky and disappeared into heaven to take his final resting place at the right hand of God. But guess what? It's going to happen again. God is alive. That we have a helper in heaven. And I love this point. And if you're like me, sometimes I overlook this truth. The Apostle Paul in Romans says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So the ascension needed to happen. Jesus needed to leave this earth to go to the right hand of his Father to intercede for you and I. Right now, Jesus is interceding for you and me to God, his Father. It's an incredible moment that when we see, it's like, hey, my people down there, God, because of me, there's this mediator, there's this buffer that Jesus is right now praying in eternity for you and for me so that one, we can have a relationship with Jesus, but then one day God is going to look at his son, his one and only son. And this time he's not gonna return as a little boy, a little baby, because that's done. But God's gonna look at his son and say, okay, Jesus, you can go get your bride. The ones that you've been interceding with this whole time, go get them. And then bring them to me. And then we're gonna party in heaven together forever. Right? Can we all sing, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day that will be. And it is possible, church, because Jesus right now is interceding. His forever job right now is to intercede for us. It's an incredible day when he returns. It's also just to give us assurance, this assurance that we have that heaven is real. Because where else would he have gone in the ascension if not heaven? The ascension moment assured us that Jesus went to a place, a real place, and that place is heaven. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven while he waits for us. Who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, he's with the angels, the authorities, and powers. They're all submitting to him. The one that we have a personal relationship with, all of heaven submits to Jesus just like you and I do. That the gospel is true. This gospel, this good news is true. Jesus answered, this is earlier in Jesus' ministry now. He said this, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now there's a lot of people who look at this and say, wow, Christians, that's a really narrow way. That's such an exclusive way to get to heaven. That's why a lot of people and even other believers have thought of ways that, no, this isn't the only way. Jesus isn't the only way. There's other ways. All roads lead to heaven. That's false. That's actually not true. Because if you believe that is true, then you're believing Jesus is a liar. And we know Jesus isn't a liar. But this is actually the most inclusive way, because every single one of us in our sin deserves death. That's actually what we deserve. But because of Jesus, he has opened up the availability of his Spirit to enter into any one of us who declares him as Lord. It's not exclusive. It's actually very inclusive, because this can involve all of us if we decide to give our life over to Jesus. It's the most inclusive message. But this gospel, this good news is true through Jesus. Also assures us that the power is available to all. But unfortunately, only received by those who believe. There's sheep and there's goats. And Jesus one day is gonna come, he's gonna separate those who believed in me and those who didn't believe in me. There's two different paths that you can take in this life. And one of them will bring power, the other of them will bring death, but it's our decision. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The baptisms today, we had two, we have 9-second service. This is incredible, 11 people are getting baptized today. But I love this word right here, you gotta love the wills of Scripture. Will be saved. That's an assurance word. You don't have to guess if you're saved. You know if you're saved. You will be saved. Believe, be baptized. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Will be condemned forever in a place called hell. But what did it bring forth? First in the disciples, and then what should it bring forth today in the 21st century? First of all, it brought worship. It brought worship to the disciples. Then they worshiped him. After they just experienced this incredible moment where Jesus said, peace out to this earth. Then they obeyed him and they went back and they worshiped him because they couldn't do anything else in that moment but to worship. And they worshiped together. And there was this worshipful moment together, but there was this joyful moment together because when we worship, we are filled with joy because of what Jesus has done to us, done for us, and return to Jerusalem with great joy. Of course you should be filled with great joy, disciples. You've just witnessed one of the craziest, awesomest things ever. And if you don't think awesomest is a word, it probably isn't. But you can have it and you can use it. Just trademark me, please. And they stayed continually at the temple. Where? At the temple together, continually. Morning, night is what this meant. So they continued to worship day and night at the temple. And they were doing one thing. They were praising God. They went to the house of God to praise God, which is what we are doing either here in Milton or if you're in Sunbury. What's up, Sunbury? Haven't forgotten about you. So glad you're joining us. Or if you're joining us online, we are all together with God. But we are continually praising God in the temple. And this is what the disciples did as well. They were also waiting for the Spirit. In this ascension moment, what it brought forth is the Spirit. Scripture says this in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There is this promise of return. And I love this, I love this. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus is saying, hey, disciples, go back to Jerusalem. These two angels came and said, hey, what are y'all doing? Jesus is gone. He's now at the right hand. Now it's time to go about your business. To obey Jesus and his last words are telling you that you need to go right now. Jesus is no longer here with you. Now you are God's representation to the earth. So do you believe it? So do you believe this message? Because like the disciples who are waiting, they went to Jerusalem to wait for the Spirit to come upon them. I want you to write this scripture reference down. John 16:7. John 16:7. This is John's account of Jesus here. But very truly I tell you, it is for you good that I am going away. Jesus is saying this. It's good that I'm gone. Because unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And I love that they use him because again, that means the Spirit is alive. The Spirit is a person. who can come and dwell inside of us. And that same power that raised God from the dead, the same power that raised God here up into the cloud at the ascension, that same power, guess what, church, is available for you and for me. And just like the disciples, it needs to change us. See, the disciples believed Jesus. So that's why they went to worship. That's why they went to wait on the Spirit. And then when the Spirit came upon them, when this advocate finally came, they went out and they focused on winning the world to Jesus. And aren't you so glad they listened to Jesus? Because here in America, we are the ends of the earth in this text. We aren't Judea, we aren't Samaria, we aren't Jerusalem. We are the ends of the earth. So the disciples took what Jesus said and they listened. And you and I are the result of them listening. So the question I have for you today is, do you really believe it? And when you look at your life and how you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, how you're spreading this message of Jesus, do you believe it? Then we need to be doing these things, just like the disciples. We need to continue to worship. We need to continue to stay on mission. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What is? Our bodies are living sacrifices where we die every day to Jesus. Where we come every Sunday and we get filled up and we hear the message of Jesus and we go out and we die to ourselves. That is your worship, to be living sacrifices of Jesus Christ. It's proper, it's true. We also need to have joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, which is forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what did Pastor Arley tell us a lot? Christians are some of the most miserable people I know. Remember, Pastor Arley told us that. And I want to echo that, Pastor Arley. Sometimes Christians are some of the most miserable, worryful people on the planet. But guess what? Miserable Christian doesn't make sense. And actually, miserable Christians, they don't exist. Because as a believer, we are called what? To manifest joy in our life. That means we don't worry about what's going on in this world. That means we don't worry what's going on in the White House. We don't worry. Yes, it matters. I'm not saying that. Yes, it matters. And we need to stand up for the rights of this country. We need to do that. But you don't need to worry about it. Because one day, God's going to say, Jesus, go get him. And then it's not gonna matter. What's gonna matter? Your relationship with Jesus. Are you spreading joy in the proper place in your life? And because of that, because of our worship, because of our joy, we need to serve. Serving actually needs to be an indirect part of your relationship with Jesus. It should just be something that you do. I wanna serve the body of Jesus Christ. It's that unselfishness that we have to serve. I love this. I found this in the Bible commentary of Wesleyan tradition. Spiritual maturity is demonstrated in our ability to discern when to go and when to stay. Only as we are willing to do either can God effectively equip and use us. This is so important. God calls some of us to go outside of this community, to other states, to other nations, but God also calls some of us to stay. Because if we were all to go, then who would be here to stay? To witness here in our Jerusalem, in our local communities. But know this too, if God calls you to go overseas, to go to different cities, to go to different states, that is your calling. But he doesn't call everyone to do that. He calls some of us to stay right here and be a witness in our jobs, to be a witness in our schools. But don't look at that. Just because Jesus tells you to go doesn't mean you're right and the person staying is wrong and vice versa. What matters here is that you obey your call in your life, but you have to be available to whether you stay or where you go. Those are the important things. Does that make sense? Serve. Serve the body of Christ. Serve the body of believers. And finally, focus on the mission. Some of you had to do a double take in your outline today where you had to focus a little bit more. That was on purpose. But also a happy accident was some of you like to write in the answers, but they're on a different color today. So when you were picking up your sermons, you had to refocus a little bit and say, oh, wait, this is a little bit different. Was that an accident? I don't know. But where is your focus? Are you focused on the mission? I love this, and this is from a secular source, but as I'm reading this quotation, I want you to internalize this in your own faith of where is your focus? What is your focus? We can have many focuses, but where's your main focus? Because your main focus will actually help prioritize the other focuses in your life. Focus is so important because it is the gateway to all thinking, perception, memory, learning, reasoning, problem solving, and decision making. Without good focus, all aspects of your ability to think will suffer. Without focus, you won't be as effective in your work because if you're not concentrating on the right things or are distracted. See this word? Satan cannot dethrone Jesus. Satan cannot remove Jesus from God's right hand. He can't do it. So what does he try to do with us? He tries to distract us and to get us off of our mission. You won't be capable of getting your work done if we are not focused on the mission of Jesus Christ, where he left us here in the ascension. If we don't have that same calling as the disciples and we don't take that seriously and we are focusing on other things, we're focusing on our comfortability, we're focusing on these other things that can distract us, like I've mentioned earlier on in service with the government and the things happening. Like I said, those aren't bad things, but where is your main focus? If your focus is on God, if your focus is on Jesus and the mission, those other things will fall into place. It will happen. But without focus, you won't be effective in your Christian life. Without focusing in the right place on Jesus Christ, you won't be able to be successful. And what does that mean? That means that the gospel of Jesus Christ in America could die with this generation. But we can't let that happen. Because we need generation after generation, our kids, their kids, their kids, their kids, to know who the proper person is who created this world and who has them in the palm of his hand, and that is God. But what are we doing to preserve that message to our world? The War of the Mind is coming up next as we enter into another sermon series. And this next series is all about focus. It's only a mini series, a 3-week mini series. Pastor Mike is going to be giving us this series, The War of the Mind, this whole thinking in a broken world. I'm stoked to hear this message. If you have people in your life or you yourself struggle with mental health or struggle with focusing or you're in bondage with sin, you want to make sure you are here and you are listening to this next sermon series. But I want all of us to stand up right now, and I want us to sing together as we close. And I know we're in a global pandemic, and I wrestled with this a lot in the night. I wrestled with this in the morning. If I want you to grab hands together as one church, because I don't know if you're comfortable with doing that. But if you have a family unit and you're comfortable joining hands with your family, that is great. But I want you to look around. Look at this room. Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ. If we are focused on the mission of Jesus Christ, do you know what type of difference we can make not only in this community but beyond and then spread to the ends of the earth? Do you know what we could do when we band together? But let's sing together as we close just this message of we love you, Lord. We're going to focus on loving you as one body, as one church, just like in the ascension when Jesus says, listen, go. And we have the Holy Spirit's power. So let's just lift our voices together.
Church Online, it is great to be here with you wrapping up the service. Man, what a great way to finish the Power of 40 as we've been through 40 days of prayer and fasting together as a church. And really, as we continue our journey forward, to ask ourselves, how will we live that out as a lifestyle, not just as a fixed period of time? So I encourage you, wherever you're at, to continue to be praying for your lost friends, your lost loved ones, and look for ways to how you can walk in step with the Holy Spirit to be a witness, to be a light, to share your testimony, both in big and small ways. So great wrap up to the Power of 40. The next sermon series coming up is the War of the Mind. That's going to be starting in November, and it'll be my privilege to share the message with you coming up in those weeks. But we want to make sure that you're aware of some things that you heard about in the service, including the food pantry donations. Monetary donations will be accepted these following weeks, including today through November 14th, for Thanksgiving turkeys that will be given out to families at our food pantry. It's an incredible ministry, great opportunity to partner with the food pantry and ministry and to bless families in need who will be receiving the food for the month of November from the food pantry. Also, if you'd like to get a poinsettia, if you haven't gotten a poinsettia, they do last for 2 years, so you can decorate for a long while with them. You can place your order either by calling the church office or on campus, stopping by the hub if you're looking to come in the following weeks on campus. You can stop by and place your order today through November 14th. And last but not least, we want to let you know that if you've experienced loss or know someone who's experienced loss, Grief Share Surviving the Holidays will be happening this coming week on November 6th. If you'd like more information or like to be added to the list of names of those who will be attending, you can call the church office at 570-742-8987. And as always, we want to let you know that we're moving into November. You know that part. And we want to make sure that we remind you of what happens during the midweek. CWC midweek happens on Wednesday, and there's something for children, youth, and adults. This past week, it was a delicious Sloppy Joe meal for $3 per person. It was great. So you can forego making dinner, and you can just get it here on campus, and you can get involved in any of the things that are happening, as well as one of the specific things, Dive Deep Live, where it's a follow-up on the sermon. So if there's something in the message today that you'd like to take further, you can show up at 6:30 in Davis Chapel, and Dive Deep will be happening live with Pastor Kyle and Pastor Brandon. We want to make sure that you know about the weekly devotionals too. They come out every Sunday on YouTube and on CWC.life. And then if you're a group leader or looking to start a group, we provide resources each week based on the sermon series we're in and the content provided so that you as a group leader can supply your group and walk and facilitate your group through conversation further into the word based off of where we're at together as a church. And as always, if you have questions, stop by CWC.life to find out more. It is so good to see you here on Family Sunday. God bless you.